نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى محمد رسول الله والذين معه اشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سیماہم فی وجوہہم من اثر السجود صدق اللہ العظیم. Most respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam that are listening to this program, السلام علیکم ورحمت اللہ وبرکاتہ. Alhamdulillah, it was a fadl and the grace of Allah تبارک و تعالی in the month of Ramadan we had commenced a series on the biography of the illustrious Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah, with the tawfiq of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, we will continue with the series. A Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is defined as man ra'a an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam musliman wa mata 'ala al-islam. That person who had seen Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the state of Islam and had died in the state of Islam. There are three conditions for a person to become a Sahabi. First is, he must see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person did not see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is not a Sahabi. Second, he must see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the state of Iman. If a person had seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam but not in a state of Iman, he did not even accept Islam at a later stage, such a person is not a Sahabi. Many kuffar had seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were not blessed with Iman. And third, after having seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a state of Iman, the person must pass away in the state of Iman. If these three conditions are found, then only a person is a Sahabi, a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The position of the Sahaba, the greatness, respect, the dignity and the honor of the Sahaba is an inseparable part of Deen and Islam. It is through the Sahaba that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala blessed us with Iman. It is through the Sahaba that we have understood Iman. And if we remove the Sahaba from the equation, then we will never understand the true spirit, true message of Islam. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made the Sahaba a criteria, a measure for our Iman. Allah tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, Aminu kama aman al-nas. Bring Iman like the people have brought Iman. The people referred to here are the Sahaba. And the Sahaba, there's such a measure for Iman that if anybody has to deny them as being the measure and the criteria of Iman, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala immediately rebukes them. Allah says in the Quran al-Kareem, when we are told to a kuffar, Aminu kama aman al-nas, bring Iman like how the people brought Iman, the Sahaba. So kuffar mentioned, Anu'minu kama aman al-sufaha, should we bring Iman like how the stupid people brought Iman? They referred to the Sahaba as stupid people. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala immediately defends the Sahaba and he says, Ala innahum humus sufaha. Behold, those people that say Sahaba are stupid, they are indeed stupid themselves. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has described certain qualities of the Sahaba in the Quran al-Kareem. In one verse of the Quran al-Kareem, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indeed the Rasul of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. Those people that are with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, referring to the illustrious Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ. They are appropriately harsh on the kuffar. رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Among the believers, they are loving and they are sympathetic to each other. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا. They understood the aim and objective of life, and all the time you would see them
in the state of ruku and sujood, making the ibadat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And as far as their sincerity is concerned, you can just see it from their faces. See ma hum fi wujuhihim min athari sujood. The sign of their sincerity, the honesty, the clean-heartedness, you would see it from their faces. And Allah says in the Quran Kareem that this description of the Sahaba, which is in the Quran Kareem, is also mentioned in the previous kitabs. In one hadith, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Man kana mustannan falyastanna biman qad mat, fa innal hayna tu'man 'alayhi al-fitna. If a person wants to adopt the path of anyone, use anyone as a role model, then you should follow a person that has passed away in the state of Iman, referring to a Sahaba. For those people that are alive, they are not safe from fitna. Ulaika ashabu Muhammad. And they are those people who are the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are the ones worthy of following. فَإِنَّهُمْ أَبَرُّ قُلُوبًا وَعَمَقُهُمْ عِلْمًا وَأَكَلُّهُمْ تَكَلُّفًا. They are deep in knowledge. They have the least amount of pretenses. And their hearts are filled with virtue. فَعَارِفُوا لَهُمْ فَضْلَهُمْ. Recognize virtue for the Sahaba. Among the great Sahaba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one Sahabi that we will be very briefly discussing tonight is Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his name is Khalid ibn Zayd. He was from the tribe of Banu Najjar, famous popular tribe of Madinatul Munawwara. Before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could make hijrat and go to Madinatul Munawwara, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent one Sahabi, Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to Madinatul Munawwara to work on the people, invite the people to Deen and Islam. And among many people that have accepted the invite of Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one was Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still Makkatul Mukarrama, there were three delegations that left Madinatul Munawwara to secretly meet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the valleys of Mina, which is known as Bay'atul Aqaba. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala was part of that delegation. Those Sahaba that took part in Bay'atul Aqaba, they have special honor among the Sahaba. So Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu was part of that delegation. One very outstanding quality of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one very outstanding feature of his life, was that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala chose Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu to be the host of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat and came to Quba, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built the first masjid there. And after having lived in Quba for a few days, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went to Madinatul Munawwara. The historians record, they paint a picture of how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Madinatul Munawwara. The tribe of Banu Najjar, they came to receive Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from Quba all the way to Madinatul Munawwara, there were people waiting in lines to welcome, receive Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was the wish and honor of everyone of Madinatul Munawwara that they host Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his camel, as the camel is passing by, everybody would hold the rein of the camel of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and plead to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come to my home, come to my home, come to my home. Until Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to tell all the Sahaba there, da'u an-naqa, leave this camel, فَإِنَّهَا مَعْمُورَ, for this camel is ordered to station itself in a place where Allah orders it to station itself. Finally, the camel of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stationed itself in a place right in front of the house of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala was so happy, so pleased, so excited at that, he immediately goes up and takes the belongings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the camel, as though it belonged to himself, and took it into his house. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala chose Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu to be the host of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
in a books of hadith it is mentioned, Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, initially Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to stay at the bottom. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his wife, they stayed on the top. The first night when they were out on top, they thought to themselves, how can we be walking on top of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They felt a great amount of disrespect. Whole night they did not sleep. The following morning, they told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet of Allah, last night, whilst we were on top, we felt that how we could be above you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told them that I'm staying at the bottom because it's more convenient. More people come and visit me, so it's more convenient for me to stay at the bottom. On another occasion, water spilled on the top at night. Abu Ayyub Ansari and his wife is so worried and concerned that the water must not spill onto Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The following morning, again Abu Ayyub Ansari told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, this is what had happened last night. They requested Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if he could move on top. And it was on that occasion Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved on top and Abu Ayyub Ansari came at the bottom. This was a great amount of adab and a great amount of respect Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala took part in all the wars, the Battle of Badr, the Battle of Uhud, the Battle of Ahzab, the conquest of Makkah to Mukarramah, right until after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he continued. At the time of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لَتُفْتَحُنَّ قُسْتُنْتِينِيَّ. A time will come that y'all will conquer Constantinople. And the Amir of that time would be the excellent Amir, the army of that time would be the excellent army. So from that time, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, and all the Khulafa that came after them, everybody wished that they could be the manifestation of this hadith, and they could be the one that will conquer Constantinople. So at the time of Umar ibn, or the time of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he decided to launch an attack on Constantinople. Constantinople at that time, it was part of the Roman Empire. It was in that expedition Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu joined. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala was old in age. He mentioned at that time the Amir of the army was Yazid, the son of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala fell ill, Yazid came up to him and asked him that you are ill, is there any wish, any desire you have? So Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala told to Yazid, Iza ana mittu, when I pass away, fahmiluni, carry my body. And vaida safaftumul adu, and if you have to meet with the enemies, then fadfinuni fi hadal maqam, then bury me in that particular place. At that time, Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the army of Yazid, they happened to come right at the borders of Constantinople, right at the border of Rome at that time. Turkey, present day Turkey, is divided into two parts. One is the Asian part and one is the European part. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu's qabr is in the European part, and at that time that was the border of Rome where Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu had passed away, and his qabr is also there. The most amazing part is how after so many years we came to know that that is the qabr of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the 8th century, Sultan Muhammad Fatih, he conquered Constantinople, or we would say the present day Turkey. But how for 8 centuries we came to know that that was the qabr of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. From that time he had passed away, the enemies from that time noticed the barakat and the blessings of the qabr of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In one narration it is mentioned, the moment Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala was buried, the following day, the Romans themselves, the kuffar themselves, they told to a sahaba that the previous night when you'll buried that person, there has been something very great that have taken place.
They've noticed light, noor coming out from the qabr of Abu Ayyub Ansari. Fragrance coming out from the qabr of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And it was even the habit of the Romans. They had so much of conviction on the qabr of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu that whenever there used to be drought, they used to open up the qabr of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu and they should beseech Allah through the qabr of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And rahmat and mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala would come down. So this is the great lofty maqam of the Sahabi Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the 8th century, Sultan Muhammad Fatih, after he had conquered Istanbul and after he had conquered Constantinople, he then built a tomb and he enclosed that area of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And around that area, there are many other Sahaba that are buried. And people, they take it their pride, their honor to bury in that particular Qabristan. So that whole area where Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu is buried, it is called the Sultan Ayyub area. That whole area for miles on end, there's the Qabristan. And the people there, even up till today, they take pride in burying themselves over there. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, even up till today, when I went there, I've noticed that Turkish people take so much of pride. If a person becomes a governor, or if a person gets any particular position in the government, first he will come and present himself by the qabr of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu to seek barakah and blessings. Or if a marriage takes place, firstly the couples will come there by the qabr of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu to take barakah from the place, request for du'as, and then they proceed with their lives. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has kept this barakah and blessings for the people in the various parts of the world where the sahaba are. In the short time, I just want to narrate to you three hadiths of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated many hadiths from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just for the sake of our islah, for the sake of our reformation, something that we could learn from the illustrious life of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as one narrated, one sahabi came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Izni wa awjis." Give me some advice and let the advice be very short and brief. See, in this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not feel offended. Somebody asked for advice and told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Give me a short advice." Short and brief advice. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him three advices. Salli salata muwaddi'. Whenever you perform your salah, perform your salat as though it is the last salat of your life. Second advice, la tatakallam bikalamin ta'tathir minhu ghadan. Don't say anything. Be careful with your speech. Don't say anything where you'll have to present excuse for your speeches tomorrow. Today, unfortunately, we are so free with our speech. We say something, we regret, and then we have to make retract statements the following day. And the third advice, ajmi'il ayas amma fi aidin nas. Whatever wealth, whatever Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has blessed people, make yourself completely despondent of that. Don't have your eyes set on people's wealth. This is the first advice. Second advice of Abu Ayyub Ansari, a hadith narrated by him, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, la yajuzu li mu'min an yahjura akhahu fawqa thalathati ayyam. It's not permissible for a person when there are disagreements, there are disputes, to abandon your brother for more than 3 days. Misunderstandings take place, that within 3 days we should address the issue, but to carry on with that enmity and animosity for more than 3 days, that is not jais. To the extent that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, yaltaqiyan, two people meet one another, because you had a problem with a person, now when you look at him, you turn your face away from him. That is a sign of bad heartedness. And the third hadith of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, read the fourth kalima. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lakal mulk wa lakal hamd, yuhi wa yumit wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Various virtues, I mentioned various hadiths for this, but according to one hadith, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will reward the person equivalent to him freeing 10 people from the children of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. People who were slaves, buying such slaves and freeing them, what reward you would get for that?
just by reading this zikr, this fourth kalima, 10 times, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will reward you for that. And what is this fourth kalima? It is an expression of tawheed. It's an expression of oneness of Allah. Allah is one and alone. There's no shariq, there's no partner to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayat to practice on these advices that are narrated by Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat to inculcate in us the azmat, the greatness of the sahaba in our hearts. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.